This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
Joe Biden has been president for, a month? He's already had his first military action, an airstrike, kill 17 people, and a revenge attack on the Iran-backed Guardians of Blood militia in Syria. Didn't take long, did it, for those drums of war to start banging under this guy, right? Good morning. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. This is the Yoli Show on Twitter. Happy Friday, 855-839-1210. Jen Psaki, a couple years ago, the White House press secretary, tweeted out something to the effect of, why are we bombing Syria? It's a sovereign country. I'm sure she'll be explaining today how her tweet then doesn't matter now that that Joe Biden is president. But 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. President Joe Biden has ordered his first military operation with an airstrike in Syria in the wake of rocket attacks by fanatics on American targets in neighboring Iraq. The U.S. dropped seven 500-pound joint direct attack munitions, reportedly killing 17 at a crossing used by Iranian-backed militia groups to move weapons across the border. By the way, would anybody be surprised if we wind up going to war with Iran in the next 4 years? I wouldn't. Not at all. The U.S. appear to be... Is John Bolton working for Joe Biden yet? Did he get a job with him yet? The U.S. appear to be retaliating for a February 15th rocket attack on the American military bases at Erbil International Airport, which was later claimed by the Guardians of Blood Brigade. That attack in a region run by Kurds killed one contractor who was not American and injured numerous American contractors and an American service member. Got to be honest with you, don't remember hearing a lot about this, you? U.S. has not definitively blamed any specific group for the outrage or attributed it to any Iranian proxies in the region, but the administration had made it clear where it places the blame. Quote, from Pentagon spokesman John Kirby, at President Biden's direction, U.S. military forces conducted airstrikes against infrastructure utilized by Iranian-backed militia groups in eastern Syria. Kirby said that Biden ordered the strikes at Al-Bukamal after consulting with U.S. allies, including coalition partners. They were authorized in response to recent attacks against American and coalition personnel in Iraq and to ongoing threats to those personnel. President Biden will act to protect American and coalition personnel. At the same time, we have acted in a deliberate manner that aims to de-escalate the overall situation in both eastern Syria and Iraq. He revealed that the strikes destroyed multiple facilities at a border control point used by a number of Iranian-backed militant groups, including Hezbollah and KSS. Look, what can I tell you other than nothing about this surprises me? I'm just surprised it took this long, to be honest with you, till we started dropping some rockets, right? Pentagon officials later revealed they had offered up several larger groups of targets, but Biden approved the smallest option. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. President Eisenhower was the president of the United States, obviously, two terms, was a general, a very well-respected man. He warned of the military-industrial complex on his way out the door before turning the keys over to John F. Kennedy. And nowadays, if you bring up the military-industrial complex, they call you like a nut or something. But I still think that if Donald Trump had been more willing to do more of this stuff, he would have probably been reelected. He would have been fine. They would have worked with him. I mean, I'm not saying Trump didn't do any military action when he was president. I'm just saying that, you know, this just seems very different to me. It's always seemed different when when Democrats are in power, there's a lot more of this stuff happens. And, you know, I for one, don't want U.S. troops involved in these conflicts anymore. I don't. Maybe you do. I don't know. But it just certainly seems like the indication is not we're not leaving anytime soon. You know what I mean? Like Trump wanted to pull us out of these places. And we are embedded here in the Middle East. We are embedded in these places. We're not going anywhere. U.S. has carried out retaliatory military strikes multiple times in recent years. Beginning in late 2019, the U.S. responded to rocket attacks by striking the Qatik Hezbollah militant group in Syria and Iraq. The two sides attacked each other repeatedly during the Trump administration, and the U.S. ultimately killed Iranian military leader Qasem Soleimani. You remember that. Iran retaliated last year with a ballistic missile attack against American forces in Iraq. The latest rocket attacks occurred as the U.S. and Tehran explore ways to return to an agreement after President Donald Trump abandoned the 2015 Iran nuclear deal. So I wonder what the implications of that will be as well. But Jen Psaki, back in April 6th of 2017, what is the legal authority for strikes? Assad is a brutal dictator, but Syria is a sovereign country. If you remember, I was not a fan of those strikes back then, so I've always been very consistent on this stuff. And then, of course, MSNBC last night tweeting out, breaking, U.S. military carries out airstrike in Syria against facilities used by Iranian-backed militia, defense officials tell at NBC News, marking the first military response from the Biden administration after a series of rocket attacks on U.S. targets in Iraq. One thing I do know, though, is that this won't be scrutinized by the media. That much is obvious. I can't predict anything else beyond that. What I can predict to you, though, obviously, is that there are plans in place now for us to be more dug in. Yes, as Mr. Safety reminds me, the Biden administration moved troops into Syria's first week in office. Yeah, we're going to be more dug in now than we've ever been before. We're not going to be leaving the Middle East anytime soon. So just keep a mind on that. Speaking of being all dug in on things, one of the things that amazes me in this day and age in which we're living right now, Senator Rand Paul has always been a consistent defender of liberty. He's always been an outspoken critic of these military interventions. He's also been a guy who believes in freedom, but he's lately now been a guy who's been very opposed to the movements by the Biden administration to go all in on transgender policies in two places. Not dealing with adults in terms of their ability to live their life without harassment, but Title IX, which is in education, which again affects children, students, and also the idea of transgender medicine. He's a doctor. Rand Paul believes that if you're an adult, you live your life, you do what you want. It's your life, live your life, go. Government shouldn't bother you. Go do your thing. Like nobody's trying to tell Dr. Rachel Levine she should not be a woman. Nobody's like Rand Paul's not telling her that. Yet his comments yesterday were called transphobic. Now, that really bothers me because I think what Rand Paul was pointing out yesterday in terms of medical policies towards children, Rachel Levine is about to become a top health secretary in the Biden administration. These questions are warranted. These questions are something that should be asked. Dr. Levine can be absolutely live as a woman, be a woman, be a transgender woman in this country and still be opposed to children taking hormones that change their entire body, right? You could be both. I mean, you could be a transgender adult and still believe you shouldn't mess with kids and their bodies, right? Because they're kids, you know, because we don't let kids take aspirin without their parents' permission, really. We certainly don't let kids smoke without their parents' permission, unless they're, 19, I think is the age now. You know, we keep raising the bar in terms of when kids can make adult decisions. But with this stuff, we let them do it as early as 3 years old. I kid you not. That's some of the things that Rand Paul talked about yesterday in his commentary. Three-year-olds changing their sex? That's just crazy. I mean, you could be totally in support of adults being able to be transgender and still think this is absurd. You know, I mean, two things can coexist at the same time. This is insane to believe that children should be able to change themselves, minors making these kind of life-changing decisions. We don't let kids sign contracts. We don't let kids buy alcohol. We don't let kids take drugs. We don't let kids get certain prescription drugs without. But with the left, when it comes to certain things like abortion and transgender policies, then they're all in and letting kids make those decisions. As a parent, that frustrates me. It really does. As a parent, it really bothers me. You notice in New Jersey right now, for example, if your kid's caught with alcohol or or marijuana. As a parent now, you won't even be informed of that. The kid will get a warning and you won't be told of this. We have to have consistent policies in this country when it comes to children. And I think one of those things, the first thing to do would be to figure out what age adulthood starts. And it's all over. Depending on which policy you're talking about, it's all over the place. Just depends on the policy. Depends on the day. But here's a little of the exchange with Senator Rand Paul and Rachel Levine. This matters because Dr. Levine is going to be in a very high, prominent position within the United States Department of Health. These are legitimate policies that are being asked. Parents have legitimate concerns about this stuff. And we should be wanting to protect our children, obviously. And she should be giving the senator a legitimate answer. But you'll notice here she's going to dodge this. And you'll notice, by the way, I have not misgendered Rachel Levine. I've called her. I'm not trying to belittle her personally for her life. I'm just simply saying I don't want kids. I want children protected from this kind of nonsense. Because it's lunacy to think a three-year-old knows that he's a different gender. That's just craziness, right? All right, so here's a little bit of the conversation here. Cut 14.
The American College of Pediatricians reports that 80 to 95%...
Let's go with the opening one. What's the opening cut? 15, is it?
No, this one. You were right.
Okay, go ahead.
Pubertal children with gender dysphoria will experience resolution by late adolescence if not exposed to medical intervention and social affirmation. Dr. Levine, do you believe that minors are capable of making such a life-changing decision as changing one's sex?
Well, Senator, thank you for your interest in this question. Transgender medicine is a very complex and nuanced field with robust research and standards of care that have been developed. And if I am fortunate enough to be confirmed as the Assistant Secretary of Health, I would look forward to working with you and your office and coming to your office and discussing the particulars of the standards of care for transgender medicine.
That's not an answer. You notice that, right? That's a total dodge by Levine. Total dodge. Listen, I'm making the point of referring to Levine as a she because the media is going after Rand Paul today saying that he was beating up a trans person. And you have to understand something right now. What Rand Paul is talking about is children. What the left and the media does is they lump all this together in a box. And so if you're against a six-year-old having, gender reassignment surgery, that means you're transphobic. Do you understand my point here? I'm trying to separate adults from children. You want to live your life as a male or woman, you're an adult, you go have at it. Go ahead. I don't care. You do your thing. But I want to protect children from this. And what happens is they lump it all together and go, so if you're against a 10-year-old having surgery or going to school in a dress if they're a boy, you're transphobic. You see, this is the problem. This is why we can't debate policy in America. Good for Rand Paul for bringing this up, but he's getting the crap beat out of him today. For being transphobic. How is this transphobic? He's talking about children, legitimate issues with children in medicine. It's a legit question. Let's go to the next cut.
The specific question was about minors. Let's be a little more specific since you evaded the question. Do you support the government intervening to override the parent's consent to give a child puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and or amputation surgery of breasts and genitalia? You have said that you're willing to accelerate the protocols for street kids. I'm alarmed that poor kids with no parents who are homeless and distraught, you would just go through this and allow that to happen to a minor. I would hope that you would have compassion for Kira Bell, who's a 23-year-old girl who was confused with her identity. At 14, she read on the internet about something about transsexuals. She thought, well, maybe that's what I am. She ended up getting these puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones. She had her breasts amputated. But here's what ultimately she says now. And this is a very insightful decision from someone who made a mistake but was led to believe this was a good thing by the medical community. I made a brash decision as a teenager, as a lot of teenagers do, trying to find confidence and happiness, except now the rest of my life will be negatively affected, she said, adding that the medicalized gender transitioning was a very temporary, superficial fix for a very complex identity issue. What I'm alarmed at is that you're not willing to say absolutely minors shouldn't be making decisions to amputate their breast or to amputate their genitalia. For most of our history, we have believed that minors don't have full rights and the parents need to be involved. So I'm alarmed that you won't say with certainty that minors should not have the ability to make the decision to take hormones that will affect them for the rest of their life.
And Levine dodges it again, by the way, as we hear in the next clip. Again, this is important. This is legitimate public policy here. If Levine gets nominated by, I mean, confirmed by the United States Senate, then she's going to have a big say in this stuff as the undersecretary for health in this country. The senators owed an answer. The United States Senate is owed an answer. The people of the United States of America are owed an answer for this. You're an intelligent person. You can separate minors from adults, right? We all agree adults, you know, I mean, we might have problems with life choices of certain people. We all understand they're different, right? They're different categories. The goal of the left, obviously, is to lump everybody together into one basket. That is wrong. That is just wrong on so many levels. Children should not be mutilating themselves, period, with hormones and surgery and everything else, period. And the fact that Levine won't answer is because Levine believes that they should be able to, and that if their parents say no, they should be able to override their parents. That's what she believes. Go ahead, Bill.
Will you make a more firm decision on whether or not minors should be involved in these decisions?
Senator, transgender medicine is a very complex and nuanced field. And if confirmed to the position of Assistant Secretary of Health, I would certainly be pleased to come to your office and talk with you and your staff about the standards of care and the complexity of this field.
Let it go into the record that the witness refused to answer the question. The question is a very specific one. Should minors be making these momentous decisions? For most of the history of medicine, we wouldn't let you have a cut sewn up in the ER. But you're willing to let a minor take things that prevent their puberty, and you think they get that back? You give a woman testosterone enough that she grows a beard, you think she's going to go back looking like a woman when you stop the testosterone? You have permanently changed them. Infertility is another problem. None of these drugs have been approved for this. They're all being used off-label. I find it ironic that the left that went nuts over hydroxychloroquine being used possibly for COVID are not alarmed that these hormones are being used off-label. There's no long-term studies. We don't know what happens to them. We do know that there are dozens and dozens of people who have been through this who regret that this happened and a permanent change happened to them. And, you know, if you've ever been around children, 14-year-olds can't make this decision. In the gender dysphoria clinic in England, 10% of the kids are between the ages of 3 and 10. We should be outraged that someone's talking to a 3-year-old about changing their sex.
He's 100% right. 100% right. And I don't care who you are. You could be the most supportive person for adults living their life. Look, I don't care what you do. Is you're an adult, do what you want. Just don't hurt anybody else, right? Don't hurt anybody else in the process. Do whatever you want. These are kids. We're talking about children here. This is pathetic that a high-ranking public health official will not even give this senator the courtesy of being honest with him, which is, yes, Senator, I do think kids should be able to do this. Pathetic. Rachel Levine is pathetic. She is pathetic. She should not be nominated. She should not be confirmed by the Senate. She will be. And when she is, remember that I told you this today. She is part of the extreme, extreme left that is so out of touch with America. And she also needs to answer for the nursing homes because that scandal is not over. And people need to hold her to task for that. It's a pathetic exchange. Senator Rand Paul was owed the courtesy of an answer. He did not get it from a nominee of the Biden administration. That is unacceptable. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. All right, listen. Relationships in life matter. They do. They always do, right? That's why you got to have a good relationship. You know, I was thinking of the other day, we've made a lot of private jokes about Greg saying, hey, it's Greg. Somebody wrote this article about how talk radio, really what's so special about it is the intimacy and the fact there's a lot of private jokes, a lot of inside jokes, which is very fun, right? Very cool stuff. That's a relationship. It's a relationship we have together. Cherry Hill Vavo exceeds at relationships. What they do a great job of it. I would love for you to go see them. Please. They're on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. And you know why it works at Cherry Hill Vavo? Is because Everybody in life has to make a decision when they buy a car. Do they want to get harassed and just worn down, or do they want to have a really wonderful experience and remember it for the rest of their lives? That's what it's like at Cherry Hill Volvo. You know, I have friends who went there. On the sixth time they went to Cherry Hill Volvo, they finally bought their XC90, the beautiful family car. This summer, everybody's going to be back doing stuff. You know what I mean? I feel so confident about that with the vaccines and everything else. Everybody's going to be getting in their car and driving to the shore and enjoying their life and having a great time. Well, Cherry Hill Volvo will get you there in a beautiful, beautiful SUV like the XC90 or the S-Class if you want to drive that car as well. So go see them on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, where relationships matter, and they really do. Judith Krupnik and her entire team would love to see you, give you a great, great deal on a Volvo. She knows how important you are to me, and they want to prove that to you and have a relationship with you that you'll never forget. Cherry Hill Volvo, minutes over the bridge, where relationships matter.
You're in the middle of 60 minutes of non-stop talk. This is the Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, so there you go. 855-839-1210. Let me bring up some other things, too, today. For that, I want to ask a question here. Do we believe in UFOs, speaking of science?
Yes.
Do we believe in them?
Yes.
Are they real?
Yes.
They 100%. Are real, Greg. You're saying yes?
100%.
Bill, if you're screening a call, screen the call, Bill.
No, we're good. We're good.
If you got to screen a call, screen a call. You can jump in the conversation later, but I need, you know, like, was that a call?
Yeah, but then I screened and we're all good.
Well, where are they on the screen? Where are they're not on the screen. Why don't
they
I see
hung
them?
Up on them?
Yeah, they hung up.
They hung up
Who
on
hung
you?
Up?
Yeah.
Or you hung
it
up on them?
It was just odd timing. I don't hang up on callers.
You better be nice to callers.
Of course I am. Why would you try and put that?
He's very
Make
clear.
Sure. If you call the show and Bill's not nice to you, I want to hear about it. 855-839-1210.
Oh, boy.
All right, Greg, do you believe in UFOs?
I do, yes.
You do?
Yes.
You do, really?
I don't believe that there are little green aliens, but I think that there's other life form out there, of course. I mean, we'd be stupid not to think that, right? I mean, like, to think that we're the only people that exist, the only beings that exist, you know, is lunacy.
Yeah, well, I'm not 100% sure. I think they might be little green men, but I don't know why you got to bring gender into it again. We're trying to, you know, with Mr. Potato Head and whatnot. Did you hear about this pilot? So this American Airlines pilot, right?
Yep.
Was flying, and the audio of this is amazing. He sees a long cylindrical object go by the plane. We have the audio of this, the pilot.
Yeah, yep, it's a, like a quick 13-second thing, but you can tell what he's
all right. Go
about
ahead.
In this.
Have any targets up here? We just had something go right over the top of us. That I hate to say, this looked like a long cylindrical object. It almost looked like a cruise missile type of thing, moving really fast. That went right over the top of us.
The FBI said it was aware that an American Airlines pilot reported a close encounter with a long cylindrical object over New Mexico. You notice how it's always New Mexico?
It's true.
You notice that?
It's a good point. Yes. Yeah, maybe it's because the deserts and, you know, it's, I don't know. But it is. It is always over New Mexico.
That's where Area 51 was, New Mexico, right? Roswell, New Mexico.
Yeah.
It was a flight from Cincinnati to Phoenix, reported seeing the UFO, which almost looked like a cruise missile, on Sunday, while the Airbus A320 was cruising at 406 miles an hour at an altitude of about 37,000 feet. Steve Douglas, an experienced radio interceptor, told the outlets The War Zone that he heard the pilot's bizarre transmission while recording from his multiple scanners. The FBI is aware of the reported incident, spokesman Frank Connor told Fox News in an email Thursday. While our policy is to neither confirm nor deny investigations, the FBI works continuously with our federal, state, local, and tribal partners to share intelligence and protect the public. Anyone who is aware of suspicious or criminal activity should contact their local law enforcement agency or the FBI. Now, in the call, the pilot is heard telling ATC in Albuquerque about the strange sighting. Do you have any targets up here? He says, we just had something go right over the top of us. I hate to say this, but it looked like a long cylindrical object that almost looked like a cruise missile type of thing moving really fast over the top of us. On the day of the incident, the drive asked American Airlines to confirm it. Quote, at this time, we do not have any indication the radio transmission was from the flight crew on board American Airlines Flight 2292 on February 21st. But when pressed later, the airline provided a different response. Following a debrief with our flight crew and additional information received, we can confirm this radio transmission was from American Airlines Flight 2292. All right, so my question is this. Dawn, didn't you report recently about a Harvard professor who said something like he met with aliens or had breakfast with them or something? What was that story recently? Do you remember that?
Yeah, the Harvard professor. Yeah. There are a lot of people, even from Harvard University, who believe in aliens and say they've had nice little visits from aliens. There are some people who believe, by the way, that aliens have been visiting our, you know, Earth for millions of years and that people back in the day thought they were angels. So there are some people that even believe, like in the Bible, when it says an angel visited, so it was actually an alien. There's that theory, too.
Yeah. All right. So then if there are aliens, do you think they're waiting till COVID is over before they actually come visit? Or what?
Yeah, because they don't like a mask and they don't want to get sick.
They don't want to wear masks.
We do not wear masks.
But wouldn't they have to wear masks because to deal with the oxygen? Wouldn't they have to? I don't know. I mean, we have to wear masks when we go to Mars, right? Wouldn't they have to wear?
Well, did you see the movie War of the Worlds with Tom Cruise 2005? Remember, that's how they all vanished because they entered Earth's atmosphere and that's how they got sick. They weren't wearing masks.
Yes.
See? When I say to aliens, this is Fauci, wear two masks when you enter our atmosphere and then do it. All right, so Bill, do you believe in aliens? Do the millennials believe? You do?
I think
the truth is out there?
Yeah, I think so. I think a majority of millennials will say yes to other life beings out there.
I mean, it makes for great television and great movies and everything like this, but every time they come, though, what always amazes me, they never want us to know we're here, but yet they always wind up blundering it up, and we kind of know that they're here, so I can't figure that part of it out, you know? If they're so sophisticated and they want to come visit without us really knowing that they're here, how come they're always leaving clues? What's that about?
See?
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
But I love that the one proof of life that the Harvard professor points out, it looks like a big cigar. So I think they like cigars.
Probably they do. I mean, what advanced life form doesn't, right? Here's something else to consider, too, with regards to extraterrestrial life. They say radio signals, you know, never die. They're always out there, right? So, like, what I'm saying right now eventually will be beamed into space, and then millions of years later, some lucky listener will get to hear it, and the Zeoli army will grow into an intergalactic battle force. But radio signals never die. So, I mean, every now and then we hear these we get these transmissions too. You know, President Trump created the Space Force. Wouldn't you love to know what is known? Like, really, what's really known? Because I think the Space Force is a lot more than just simply preparing us to deal with satellites and things like that. In other words, are we getting ready to fight Thanos at some point? Don't you wonder that stuff? Throwing it out there.
Well, this Harvard professor that you mentioned thinks this cigar-like object might be a probe. It's a sign of intelligent life. He believes it's proof, a sign that there's a spacefaring civilization that's probing us.
Interesting. Interesting. It's always New Mexico. Always New Mexico with these things. You know what I mean? Get some comments, some phone calls today. 855-839-1210. Stephen wants to weigh in on the exchange between Rand Paul and Rachel Levine. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Rich. How are you today?
Good. How are you, sir? What's up?
I'm good. I was just, you know, wondering that, you know, Rachel Levine is a psychiatrist and a pediatrician. It's just kind of an interesting twist when you start, you know, looking back and reflecting on Rand Paul's conversation with her.
And how she wouldn't answer the question.
Yeah, and she probably has more insight to the answers to those questions than most with her two specialties.
Yeah, and in her non-answer, and by the way, she repeated herself. I didn't play the clip twice. I mean, she repeated herself both times in the exact same non-answer. I think you make a great point. I think her non-answer is essentially now confirms what my suspicion, which is that she does believe children should be able to do this.
Yeah, I believe that too, and it bothers me that she doesn't want to come out on the record saying it, obviously.
Right, right. Which is also a terrible thing. If you believe they should be able to do this, why would you not put it on the record? And the reason why is because she knows she wouldn't get confirmed if she said that. Stephen, thanks. There's like a clicking sound. I have to let you go, but I appreciate your point on that. It's a very, very good point. It's just amazing how society chooses to protect and not protect kids. You know, if a kid wants to buy a cigarette at 18, we're told he's too young. But now they're saying kids should vote at 16. Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, I don't know. By the way, Hadley Anderson on Twitter says that Dawn did a great impression of the aliens saying we do not wear masks. So good job, Dawn, with the impression of that. Want to do it one more time for us?
Thank you. I do not wear masks. Aliens do not wear masks.
You sound like the Coneheads in Saturday Night Live. You know that, right? Just saying.
Back when SNL was funny.
Lori is in Ringo's on the aliens. Yes, Lori, good morning.
Hey, Rich. I'll be the first one to admit that I believe there's alien life out there somewhere. I mean, look at case in point. Look at Millennial on your show. You know, he's trying to fit in, but somehow something's just a little off.
Yeah. Yeah. Great observation. Wow. Yes, you're right. There is something off with Bill. You're right.
No.
You might want
he's
to
always like a little bit
that.
Behind, right? Like a second or two. There's like a delay, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Bill,
how do you feel about being called an alien? Like Lori calling you out for possibly being an extraterrestrial. How does that make you feel?
Well, I can neither confirm nor deny if Lori just blew my cover. But,
see that, Lori?
Yeah, he may feel threatened by that, but I couldn't tell him that when he was screening my call. But I did, you know, out there, like I've been out there, I've been to Joshua Tree National Park. I think that's out in, it's either Southern California. You know, there's so many military operations out there. We were out there in the national park, and all of a sudden coming over a crest out of nowhere were four fighter jets. You know, and when the guy described the pilot as a long cylindrical object, yes, think cruise missile. I think that's what it was. And I got UFO. Doesn't mean alien. It just means they couldn't identify what it was at the time. Sorry.
It's a good point. But you believe in aliens, but you also think this is military stuff. Interesting.
Look, I don't want to say I believe in aliens. I believe that there's the potential for life in other places in the universe. I think it's kind of naive to think. I mean, well, I don't want to sound like I don't have religious beliefs either, but in a way, it's naive to think it didn't all come together in DNA and stuff in other places in the universe.
Lori, thank you. I appreciate the call. Interesting point. Biden has ended everything possible about Trump's administration except the Space Force. Proof enough for me that there must be something else out there. Here's the thing. If all this stuff is real and the government knows it's real, then why not just come out and tell us? Is it the panic thing? Is it the same thing? Is it like, you know, they don't want us to freak out?
It's the panic thing, 100%. And by the way, they only recently even acknowledged that it was happening. You remember, we've had this discussion before. Somebody, like, there was physical proof that there was something else that they showed a video of, and the government was like, there's definitely, we can't explain that. There's definitely something else out there. You know what I mean? So it's just like, this has just been recent that they've even acknowledged that it's even a possibility. So they've been covering it up, I think, for a long time. Not covering it up, but to your point, not wanting to panic the public.
Big Chinchilla wants to know, is Bill taking calls from alien abductions on Coast to Coast with Zioli? Very nice. Excellent. It's just a big news story. I don't know. It's interesting to me that all this is happening in the world. And did I do this segment after doing Rachel Levine on purpose? Yes, I did. 855-839-1210 is the number. Look at that. Huh? You see what I do in radio? Isn't that interesting? Isn't that something? Yes, 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 yes. 855-839-1210. Let's see. Oh, yes. Okay, so now Darth Eskin, who I also think could be an alien. I do. I mean, if anybody on staff would be, wouldn't you think Spike would be an alien?
Well, he could be like a cool, good guy alien like Men in Black.
Yeah.
You could see that. Because the way he's
kissing up. A cool alien like on Men in Black.
Yeah,
listen to
they
her.
They were the good guys, like Will Smith was a good guy.
He says, your view on aliens is referred to as the Fermi paradox. It basically means, if there are aliens, where are they? Why have we never seen them? Says a lot of very smart people believe that. you know, like, where are they kind of a thing. Interesting point. Look, come on. You know as well as I do that if the aliens got here, they'd all go to Florida anyway. So they're probably in Florida. Wouldn't they be in Florida? Why would they be in New Jersey? See, if you come here and you live in Jersey, and there's snow and the taxes and the traffic. Philly, you're going to go to Florida. I mean, but New Mexico, why New Mexico? It's the winters there are terrible, aren't they?
Well, there's a lot of desert. They like the desert because it's like the surface of, you know, Mars
like the
or
surface
something.
Of that. Bob and Ridley. Bob's got a point. Yes, Bob.
Hey, Rich, that UFO thing, those were aliens. The problem was, when they got there and saw the sign saying that if you're out of state, it's a 14-day quarantine, they turned it around and went the heck home.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Yeah, good point. They said, I'm not putting up with this, right?
They don't buy into the lockdown.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it. Right, very buddy. Good. Well done. Joe is in South Philly. Yes, Joe, do you believe?
Yes, but I just want to say that a lot of people consider the term alien racist. You should be calling them undocumented extraterrestrials.
Thank you for that. It's a very good point. Undocumented extraterrestrials, a very good point. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate
Thanks.
That. Got to work on the nomenclature. Yes, indeed. Absolutely. All right, 855-839-1210 is the number. I got to do Charlie Montesino. Look, the one thing I do know is that the Space Force ain't going anywhere, and neither is the IRS. They are here to stay. There's no chance of the IRS being abolished anytime soon. So if you owe money to the IRS, you need to deal with it, okay? Because they'll find you no matter where you go in the universe. The IRS will find you. You can try to escape on Elon Musk's, you know, super jet, and they'll find you on Mars, too. Wherever you go, the IRS will find you, and they'll take money out of your bank account. Sometimes they'll take money out of your banking account and causing you to actually have checks bounce, your mortgage check bounces. The IRS doesn't care. They're going to get their money. So you need to do something about it. Charlie Montesino is the answer. Charlie Montesino is the tax problem solver. Now, think about this, right? In the entire United States of America, there are only 153 people in the entire country who are certified tax resolution specialists. Charlie is one of them, which makes him one of the elite professionals able to solve your IRS problems. So call him today at 877-257-1040. 877-257-1040. Begin the process of solving your IRS problems today. Visit his website at taxproblemssolved.com. Taxproblemssolved.com. Charlie Montesino, the tax problem solver, 877-257-1040.
You're listening to 60 Minutes of Nonstop Talk. The Rich Cioli Show. On Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. Live from the Malamud and Associates Law Studios.
You know why I think you're a freaking alien, millennials? Because you talk into the microphone, I can't hear you. And that, I think, is something that's... how many times do I have to tell you this?
Okay.
This is what I just heard in my ear. Ready? Ready? Would you speak English into the microphone?
In this case, I was doing what you asked me earlier and screening calls at the same time as trying to get in your ear, so it might have been...
Oh, is that what it is? All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Doing a lot of things, but it's okay.
Yes, you're very busy over there. It's amazing how hard you work. We're all so proud of you.
Again, Dawn and I, only ones in the studio.
Oh, are you in the studio? Are you really? Wow. Look at that.
Wow.
We're so proud of you in a studio. Look at that.
Sensing sarcasm.
Greg, I've had it with these two. So what do we got on the cut sheet today?
Well, I want to do host choice on this. You know,
oh, good. I love host choice.
I feel like you should.
Hey, Bill, guess what?
The show.
Whether I'm in the studio or I'm home in my home studio, I'm still the host. Isn't that something? Look at that, huh?
Oh, I never said you
Look
weren't.
At that.
Wow. Wow.
All right. Sorry, Greg. Go
do
ahead.
Do we spin a wheel for host choice?
You want to do it? You want to be like
spin
Vanna and spin
yes.
it? Let's do
yeah.
it. Let's do it. Why not?
Do you have a wheel sound effect, like a Wheel of Fortune sound effect,
yeah.
Bill, that you can do? I think this is a great idea. By the way, we put zero thought into this. We're doing this off the
Please, we put zero thought in everything we do. Why would this
yes.
be any different?
So let's see if we can, let's see.
See how long it takes him to get a wheel sound.
Oh.
It's not a wheel sound. What is that?
That's like in a
first
casino.
One that
That's
up.
Your people. You're talking to your people on the mothership. That's what that is. All right, let's.
All right.
Please,
okay.
I got you. Come on, you know.
So I'm going to give you three choices.
This is why I need Fridays off. I'm putting it in my contract when I renew. If I renew, I'm not going to renew, but if I did renew, I would put it in my contract. Go ahead, Bill, Greg, whoever.
So three choices here. CBS This Morning pushing the awesome streaming service of CBS, Catskills Bernie on with All In with Chris Hayes, or Forest Kindergarten in our area. Which one would you like, Rich Zioli?
Greg, let's do with Forest Kindergarten in our area for 1,000, please.
So there's this new thing that's happening in our backyard in Kennett Square, Pennsylvania. It's the Hickory Hills Nature School. And it's basically what you've been saying, I believe, for 8 months now, where they have stayed open the entire COVID pandemic. Why? Because they take kids outside, even when it's freezing cold outside. And apparently they have to – they're turning people away. There are so many people into this type of thing. So the Today Show did a little package on it the other morning, and this is Cut 7.
On a frosty winter morning, Alice Lewick is suiting up.
You feel warm enough? Yeah, extra pair of gloves.
Alice may be dressed for the sledding hill, but instead, she's headed to Hickory Hill Nature School in Kennett Square, Pennsylvania.
All right, can we hop this? Woohoo!
It's what's called a forest kindergarten, where the children are outside all day, rain or shine, even during the recent snowstorms. Stacy Gummy started the school 5 years ago.
There are days, I have to imagine, where it is freezing, sleet, rain, or on the other end of the spectrum, it can get really humid and hot. Do the kids complain?
No. Children are very resilient. We all know that. Everybody says it all the time. Here, we have to have the right gear.
Alice began last fall. Her mom, Rebecca, that made in-person classes too risky.
Tell me what it was like there in the beginning, trying to get her to sit in front of a computer.
She just wasn't getting the joy that I think she would have been getting in the classroom if we were able to do that. She just wants to be out in the world like so many little kids.
A friend tipped Rebecca off.
Let me stop this for a second here. Thank you. Okay, a couple thoughts on this. Number one, it's stupid, but I like it because at least they're not virtual. You know what I mean?
It's stupid, really?
I think you can have kids in the classroom, but if you can't do kids in classroom because of the politics or whatever, then this is great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So let me just say that point. I mean, that's what I meant by that. Like, in terms of, I think we know we can have kids in the classroom safely, but if you're not going to do that, this is 1,000 times better than having kids do virtual. Okay. So now I'll ask the other question then. Maybe this should always be, maybe kids should always be outside and never in a classroom. What about that idea?
Huh. Wow.
I think they love it.
They love it. Look, I would rather be outside most of the time anyway. Kids are very good about, like, my kids never, my son is a 70-year-old man trapped in a 6-year-old body. He is. Patrick never wants to leave the house. But the minute I finally get him out of the house, he never wants to come back inside. He always wants to keep playing outside. You know, they just love the fresh air and being outside and everything like that. Maybe that's the answer. Maybe from now on, we never put kids back in the classroom. We always have them play in the forest with the trolls and the Smurfs.
I don't think that's what they're doing. They're just trying to get them in touch with nature. By the way, you're setting them up for a good, you know, so they're not relying on video games and being inside and stuff like that. They want to go outside. You know what I mean? So I think this is a great thing. Plus, doing a little learning out there. You know what I mean? Like, recite your ABCs or, I don't know, whatever kindergarten kids learn about. I don't know.
But you know what this also proves to me is that when people take the time to actually be creative, they can find a way to keep kids from sitting at the kitchen table on Zoom. And that's why I applaud this kindergarten, because they deserve credit for doing this. So what is the Forest Kindergarten in Kennett Square?
I say
bravo to you. Bravo for being creative.
It's the Hickory Hill Nature School in Kennett Square, Pennsylvania.
Boy, I really botched that, huh? Well, the Hickory... listen, Hickory Dickory Dock Nature School, bravo to you.
It's written here.
Bravo to the... bravo to... I just tweeted out, I mean, Chester County, Delaware County's Upper Darby School District... They are working very hard to figure this out. They've been hybrid and in person with these little kids. So I know a lot of families who are, you know, what they're talking about is 100% back to school. But kudos to them for just bending over backwards to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. We could, the creative solutions could be had and could have been had all along. But you understand, and I played this clip earlier, Randy Weingarten, the head of the teachers union, with her still with her nonsense about kids may not be in school. Let me play it again. Bill, cut number six. Go ahead.
For her take, let's bring in Randy Weingarten, president of the American Federation of Teachers. Randy, nice to have you back here on the program. And I'll start with the million-dollar question. And certainly in light of these CDC guidelines, everyone is asking when and how are we getting our students, our children, back into those classrooms full time?
So full time is going to depend upon what's going on with physical distancing and what's going on with the variants. What I can tell you.
All right, now let's stop it right there. Does anybody stop it? Does anybody think Randy Weingarten would put up with an outdoor nature school all day? No freaking way, right?
No.
No chance.
Nope.
This Hickory Dickory, what is it called again?
Hickory Hills Nature School.
It is a private school, I'm guessing, right?
Oh, I mean, Kenneth Square is a very well-to-do area.
Bingo.
So I'm sure.
But you see the difference between a private school and a public school?
Yep.
They'll find a way in a private school to make it work. And it may not be something that you want to do. You may find it a little funky or a little out there, but they make it work.
By the way, later on in that clip, they said, they asked how many, if they had any COVID cases, and they said zero for the entire year.
Like 0.0.
Zero. None. They've had no COVID cases. So
this is why we need school choice, because I'm sure that there's city kids whose parents would love to send them there, or other schools like it, but unfortunately can't afford it.
Yes.
And so their kids are going to be today in Philadelphia in front of a computer screen again for day 757 of this freaking pandemic. Am I right?
Yeah, 100%.
Or we're going to stick a kid in a tuba tent, a band geek in a tent.
Enough with the band geek.
You see why I'm so angry that we don't have school choice in this country? Because parents should be able to say, well, forget it then. If you're not going to open up schools, I'm sending my kids to the Smurf school. I'm going to send my kids to be with sit on a mushroom all day and learn out in the wild versus my kitchen table. Dawn would never do that because they're kids with the allergies in the nature. That would never. Right, Dawn? Am I right?
Yeah, but you can deal with that with medication. I'm looking on the website. This nature school looks amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I can't see, though, if it's public or private.
I'm sure.
It might be a partnership.
It has to be private, right? I mean, it has to be. There's no way that's a public school.
This looks amazing.
I just love that Dawn goes, yeah, but there's medications.
Just drug them. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally, you
whole
know
time
I'm
she's researching, like, allergy medications for the nurse, for the Smurf school. Greg, now, that was host choice. So what else do I have to give me a choice of?
So yesterday, do you want a choice or do you want me to just move on?
So, it's up to you. Go ahead.
So yesterday, CBS This Morning pushed. They did a segment on the CBS All Access streaming service. That's now the Paramount streaming service. We talked about it at the end of the show yesterday, if you're listening. But they were talking about how awesome it is in this very organic clip where they just happen to be talking about a streaming service that is their parent company, Cut 3.
All right, we're 1 week away from the launch of our rebranded streaming platform, Paramount Plus. It is filled with reboots of some of your favorite shows. One of them.
What am I doing wrong?
I don't know. I'm a dancer as a friend or a therapist.
As a friend?
It's Frasier.
See a therapist.
Frasier. Everybody's laughing at the table. Great show. We expect to see Paramount Plus to launch next Thursday, March 4th.
And Paramount Plus has got a ton of content. I mean, like, Titanic is a Paramount movie, Indiana Jones, Forrest Gump, Mission Impossible, Top Gun.
That's the old stuff, but the new stuff is what I'm excited about, Frasier, and there's Star Trek reboots coming back. It's going to be awesome.
And I'm excited about Jonathan Blakely.
Yes, me too.
Heading
great news.
I know. We're so proud of him.
Great news for Jonathan.
Well, talented, too.
All right, Vlad, thank you.
Wow. The hard-hitting, unbiased CBS News reporting on the CBS streaming service.
I can't.
Now, why? Who hates the media? Why would you hate the media? Come on.
I mean, you know, between that and ABC, Good Morning America, you know, plugging Disney Plus, it's revolting.
ABC Disney China literally took the Mr. Potato. I'm going to tell you what they did this morning. They took the Mr. Potato Head story. about Mr. Potato Head getting his you-know-what cut off. And they took that and they turned that into being able to promote the Toy Story movies on Disney streaming. So ABC News China, ABC Disney China, was able to take the Mr. Potato Head and use it to show clips of Toy Story and remind everybody you can see Toy Story on Disney streaming, on Disney Plus.
Totally organic.
These media outlets are big corporations. Yes. I say this all the time. And Amen. The Democrats now, you know, there's this, not to pivot into this, I meant to get to this earlier, but... The censorship party is the Wall Street Journal editorial today. The editorial board, House Democrats use a hearing to target conservative media. What's happening right now is these big media conglomerates are now working together to try to silence the competition, and they want to get rid of Fox News, Newsmax, One American News, and all these other things. And so these Democrats now are all in with these people to try to get rid of these streaming platforms. They want Xfinity to drop Newsmax. They want all these other entities, right? And Representative Frank Pallone from New Jersey generously conceded that the First Amendment protects speech as controversial but distinguished misinformation that causes public harm. As the Wall Street Journal put it, apparently Mr. Pallone wants someone, perhaps the government, to determine what constitutes public harm and when speech causes it. Would 2 years of false Democratic narratives about Russia collusion with Mr. Trump qualify as public harm? The Wall Street Journal asks. How about apologies for riots in the streets last summer? So I'm just pointing out, you know, progressives, they want to now try to shut down these various entities. And what they wind up doing now is making the few channels that are left even more powerful, but even more under the hand of the corporation that controls them. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Even more under the control of like ABC Disney China is going to have even more control because there's not going to be various outlets to compete with them. I'm just pointing this out. So
it's important. You
know. All right. Okay. It's important. All right.
To pay
I got to do Dr. Mike Venaria. My wife just saw Dr. Mike 2 days ago. She went. Yeah. She had a nice visit with him.
That's what's great about this show is that you like all of the sponsors are not just, you know, they don't just support our show, which is especially in a time like this. It's uber critical to support all of the sponsors. But you actually use all the sponsors that you know.
Yesterday, I cooked up some Omaha Steaks. I did a cooking show with the CEO of Omaha Steaks in my backyard yesterday.
Cool.
He wasn't in my backyard, but his steaks were. And we did a cooking show together, which will air at some point on ABC Disney China at some point.
We're going to put it up on the Facebook page as soon as the graphics department and the digital department cut it up a little bit and put some good graphics in there, make it look all purdy.
You know what's nice, too, is that the sponsors even know my wife, you know, Bridget left corporate America. She's now a real estate agent with the Marucci Group in Morristown.
Marucci,
yes.
Nice.
Marucci, you like that name, Marucci?
I like that, Marucci.
Well, she got a handwritten note from Judith Krupnik congratulating her and telling her, I will let you know about any person I know who needs to list their house. Dr. Venaria was all congratulatory to her yesterday. It's a beautiful thing. It really is. It's a very beautiful thing. So Dr. Mike really cares about my family. But I got to say, of all the Ziolis, it was Mama Zioli who found him. And I know that any second now I'm going to get that text from her. I found Dr. Mike Venaria. You need to let everybody know that. You did, Mama Zioli, you did. And so for that, I'm very grateful because he gives people great smiles. And he has two offices to serve you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury, New Jersey. Dental implants are complicated, and Dr. Mike is the expert at dealing with them. So please go see him. You know, look, if you've been putting off, I read a story the other day, people are putting off going to the dentist because of the pandemic. Please don't do that. Don't do that. What are you doing? Go, take care of you. His office has the strictest infection controls, highest CDC guidelines. They've always followed them. And they have ultraviolet sterilization of airflow. So you're good. You're going to be safe. VanariaDental.com. VanariaDental.com. 856-786-2020. 856-786-2020. Or VanariaDental.com. My buddy, Dr. Mike Venaria, pediatric general cosmetic. And, of course, those complicated dental implants, VenariaDental.com, 856-786-2020, VenariaDental.com.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you. Rich Zioli, weekday morning. Radio 1210 WPHD.
Dawn, are you? Let's. What are we doing here? What are we doing? Can you hit a freaking button without prematurely?
I don't know why that skipped over that.
National
Dawn, let's do news at 8:35 so I don't have to rush you, because I've totally lost track of time because of the alien millennial here. It's, I blame him. Can I mention though about Cuomo? Did you see ABC News went after him again? ABC News, because when I said strip poker, it was a joke. Come on. Anybody here on my private taxpayer-funded jet want to play strip poker? Hey, it's a joke. Come on. Do you want to play Twister?
No.
It's a joke. At no point did she ever say it was a joke, by the way. Play that short ABC cut for me. ABC Disney China cut, if you would, Bill, of ABC Nightly News. Go ahead.
It comes amid new allegations of sexual harassment against Cuomo by former staffer Lindsay Boylan. In a blog post, Boylan alleging several unsettling episodes, including a 2017 flight where she says the governor joked, "Let's play strip poker." Four staffers who were on the plane pushing back, saying the conversation
did
never
I
happened.
Say let's play strip poker? Did I say that? The answer is yes, but it was a joke. If you can't take a joke, then I will destroy you, pulverize you, and make sure that I am your worst freaking nightmare. I see Jen Psaki was asked about Cuomo, Greg. I see
she
that.
She was. Yeah, this was by Peter Ducey of Fox News. She gave the politically correct answer about the Biden administration. Cut two.
Thank you, Jen. The head of the group the president is going to meet with today, the National Governors Association, Andrew Cuomo, is being accused of sexual harassment by a former staffer named Lindsay Boylan. She says that Cuomo, while he was governor, gave her an unwanted kiss on the lips. He asked her to play strip poker. Is the White House worried about this becoming a distraction from an important meeting about COVID response?
Well, let me first say that the president has been consistent in his position. When a person comes forward, they deserve to be treated with dignity and respect. Their voice should be heard, not silenced, and any allegation should be reviewed. Governor Cuomo is also the governor of one of the largest states in the country that has been one of the hardest hit, with millions of people still suffering from an ongoing pandemic and an economic crisis. And our focus is to continue working with governors from across the country, from a range of states, on how we're helping people in their states. He also is still head of the National Governors Association, hence he's at the event today.
Jen, you better be nice to me. Because I'm all those things you just said.
I mean, it's...
And I will destroy you. Let me explain what I will do to you if you cross me, and tell that old man in the White House that I will destroy him too.
Yes.
Okay?
I would, I mean, I know you're joking, but like, I wouldn't cross Cuomo. Honestly, I wouldn't. If I was Biden, if I was the Biden administration.
Ring, 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 White House. Yeah, how you doing? It's, This is Governor Cuomo. I would like to speak to President Biden. Joe, you better rein in your press secretary, unless she would like to play a little strip poker on my plane, too. But understand that I will push her out of my plane. I'm not using a metaphor. I will literally push her out of my plane.
That's not right. That's not right.
This guy is amazing, by the way. You know, I think too, in terms of Cuomo, like the way that this guy is able to threaten, bully, belittle, harass, and then the media goes, but he's the governor of New York. Like, hey, like, you get it? It's not Montana. Like, what if he was the governor of a small state? Would that make a difference? Right? I mean, if he was the governor of Rhode Island, would this be criticized? But it's New York, so a large state. That's basically her answer.
Yes.
Come on, he's not the governor of Puerto Rico. This is New York. Actually matters. The governor of, like, you know, some flyover state in the middle of America?
The middle.
In the middle, right in the middle? All right, we got a lot more to discuss as our hour of nonstop talk has gone off the rails, as the entire freaking show has gone off the rails. But what are you going to do, right? What are you going to do? It's Friday. Thank God for that. We're coming right back.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.